Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're privileged to have former Congresswoman and former presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann with us again. And we're going to have a packed program, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to stay with us, if you can, the entire program. I'm positioning today's program on the theme of this. What baton, as in a relay racer, what baton is Obama passing to Trump on Inauguration Day? And after I put the program together, I happened to find a little illustration somewhere this morning. And if you could picture with me, you can't see it, obviously, I'll describe it to you. But if you can imagine a rocky cliff, looks like you're maybe looking in the Grand Canyon, and zooming off of this cliff into open air is a car painted with the American flag. And there are two people in it. There are things being thrown out of the car. And one fellow leaning over the edge happens to be Donald Trump. And the little note coming up from the driver, which appears to be Barack Obama, says this. He says, "Donald, any questions before I give you the wheel?" And then he's throwing the wheel out the window as well. It just kind of raises the interest level of really what is Donald Trump being given. And that's why I've termed it, what kind of baton is Obama passing off to Donald Trump? And with that, I welcome you to the program today. I'm Sam Rohr. Gary Dahl and I will be together today. David Kistler is on his way to Washington, D.C., where he will be involved on Inauguration Day, handing out, along with many others, Gary, you included, 50,000 copies of small versions of the new scripture of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And some other things that day. It'll be a great, great day. And, of course, if you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be broadcasting on Friday, and I'll be getting updates from the inauguration. Gary and Dave and some others will be giving updates on that program on Friday, on-the-ground reporting from that event. Now, we're going to discuss in this program these things. First, the anti-Israel baton, I would call it. That's the Obama effort to set the world afire by encouraging the United Nations condemnation of Israel on December 23rd, and some things about that. Then we're going to go to Europe, and we're going to get an update from Michelle Bachmann on the increasing potential that the European Union will collapse. We're going to ask her what globalist baton she believes Barack Obama is going to pass or is passing to Donald Trump, and how we might see the national sovereignty movement, seemingly being led by Donald Trump, intersecting with this globalist agenda. And then we're going to conclude the program discussing security threats surrounding Inauguration Day, who's making the threats, why they're doing it, and we're going to pick up some things relative to that issue, and we're going to get that update from Michelle. Now, let's go first of all to the anti-Israel baton being passed by Obama to Donald Trump. And with that, I am going to officially welcome into the program today Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you, Sam. I love your radio show. I love your audience. Thank you again for the privilege of being on with you today in this important time.
Well, Michelle, we appreciate you to that fullest extent as well, and we're glad that you are with us, because your input, your experiences of the past, your love for the Lord, your knowledge of biblical prophecy, all of those things put together make what you say to be something of great value. So with that, let me go right here directly to this matter of the December 23rd vote by the United Nations, which condemned Israel. We've talked about it on the program already. But over the weekend, some additional things happened. There was a meeting in France with the members of the United Nations. Pope Francis met on Saturday with Mahmoud Abbas, the Hamas Palestinian leader, where the Vatican pronounced actually welcomed him there in his opening of the embassy. They've recognized the Palestinian state. Michelle, I'm going to ask you this. First of all, what implications do you see for Israel now that December 23rd UN resolution was passed? What difference is it going to make? What implications are we going to see?
Well, it's a huge implication, and it is the implication that Barack Obama fully intended. He wanted to put Israel on defense. so he would help create a legitimate, not only movement, but the false figment of a narrative that there is a legitimacy of a new Arab state on currently held biblical lands, lands lawfully owned and secured by Israel. So think of it this way. In the United States of America, if the UN said that maybe a third of the United States no longer belonged to the United States, but the UN was giving it to Mexico, it would be that same type of analogy. And that's what we need to recognize. Barack Obama made a false statement that the world is trying to believe that a new Arab state has effectively been created, when it has not. And it has been created out of the Jewish state of Israel to further the Arab goal of the full riddance of Israel and the Jewish state from the world. So this would be taking about a third of Israel and putting it into the hands of the Arabs to reach that ultimate goal of driving the Jews into the sea. In other words, effectively a genocide, and that is what Obama has been a part of.
Well, you know, it's sad that Obama has done what he has done towards the nation of Israel, Michelle, and I'm certain that Benjamin Netanyahu and others over in the land of Israel are glad that President Obama is on his way out and President-elect Trump is on his way in. But with that in mind, let me follow up on the question that Sam asked you and ask, what implications do you see that this anti-Israel baton being passed from Barack Obama to Donald Trump, what will it create in the development of a Trump foreign policy in the upcoming year?
It's a tremendous opportunity for Donald Trump, and one that I believe he should seize immediately, because as Obama consistently over 8 years was anti-Israel in every action he ever took, lifting up the goals and ambitions of Islamic Jihad, tearing down the ambitions of a safe, secure, stable Jewish state, so Donald Trump now has an opportunity to send an unmistakable signal to the world, but most particularly to the Arab state, that the United States will now be on America's side. He can do that. I believe he will do that by moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, where it should be. But I also believe what he could do is pronounce that we will be with Israel, and any Arab nation who thinks for one moment they are going to invade the biblical lands will have to take on the United States.
Amen.
The United States should defund the terrorist organization known as the Palestinian Authority, and they should defund the UN, because that serves several functions, including delegitimizing these illegal actions that were taken by Barack Obama and the UN on December 23rd.
Amen.
Michelle, excellent start. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman and former presidential candidate today throughout the entire program. We're looking at world events and really what kind of baton Barack Obama is actually passing off to Donald Trump. Now, when we come back in the second segment, we're going to continue with another question or two on the implications there with Israel. And then we're going to shift to Europe and what's happening there relative to the New World Order globalist, what's happening to their agenda, to the EU as well. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
I'm sitting here right now looking at a beautiful full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a beautiful gold-embossed APN logo on the front, and it can be yours this month as you support Stand in the Gap Radio with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and to make your gift, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. If you can't send $250 right now, that's okay. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, I'll send to you a powerful CD presentation outlining the 10 essential principles needed for a nation to be blessed of God. It's practical and so needed today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. I hope to hear from you today. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The Senate honored him as one of America's five greatest senators. His political career spanned almost four decades, serving as Secretary of State for Presidents Harrison, Tyler, and Fillmore. His name was Daniel Webster, born this day, January 18, 1782. Webster fought to end the slave trade, opposed creating a national bank, and settled the northeast boundary of the United States. Daniel Webster stated, "If our posterity neglects religious instruction, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we're going to continue now in this segment with the anti-Israel baton that Barack Obama has been passing or is passing along to Donald Trump. But, Michelle, I'd like to bear down on just one additional point here, if I could. You mentioned that really the implications for the UN resolution against Israel was that it at least was going to put them on the defensive position vis-a-vis the nations of the world. And you did mention that one of the greatest possibilities of benefits, perhaps, or opportunities for the Trump administration is to forge a very clear alignment with Israel. Now, it's interesting that on Saturday of last week that a leader of the religious world, Pope Francis, met with Palestinian leader and Hamas member Mahmoud Abbas, because the Vatican then on Saturday officially opened up, and Mahmoud Abbas was there officially opening up, if I saw that right, the embassy, Palestinian embassy to the Vatican, meaning the Vatican has actually recognized a Palestinian state, even though one does not exist, as you have said. Now, while the meeting with the Pope seemingly clearly advances this whole thing and puts more effort on a two-state solution in Palestine, what I am hearing is that the meeting in France did not go as well with the British and some of the Baltic states actually pushing back against what they had done on December 23rd, and because they know a Donald Trump is coming in who is not in favor of that. Now, that being the case on that, what do you think is actually happening there, and what is the possibility that the United Nations, which is clearly increasingly anti-Semitic, what do you think they're going to be going and doing relative to the second state or the Palestinian state now that the Vatican has actually opened up the embassy there for them?
Well, first of all, the Vatican, again, is trying to offer more legitimacy for another Arab state. But remember, again, the Palestinian Authority is run by a terrorist organization. Both Fatah and Hamas are terror organizations. So what does this say about the Vatican? That they are recognizing as a country and dividing from the land of Israel, a country run by known terrorists. In fact, just within this last month, a terrorist in a truck ran directly into a group of soldiers right outside the old city walls in Jerusalem and killed four Israeli soldiers. What did Mahmoud Abbas do, who met with the Pope? He gave a permanent lifetime income to the wife of this terrorist and honored the terrorist. So this is actually more about the Pope than it does about what Israel will do. I will tell you, Israel will never leave its biblical lands. They will never back out of Judea, Amen. Samaria. Mm-hmm. And what the Arabs intend for evil, they intend effectively, again, a type of genocide, in that they intend to move all Jews out of their own biblical lands, including the Western Wall, which is in the old city of Jerusalem. So the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem wouldn't even, under this UN resolution, even be considered Israel anymore. This is all a fiction. And again, it's just the same thing Barack Obama did when he spoke into existence amnesty for illegal aliens. There's no law behind it. Obama just said it, and the bureaucracy follows. So the UN and this group of 70 nations on this last Sunday in France were speaking something into existence that has no force of law behind it. And so what Donald Trump can do is speak truth to the world and say the United States recognizes Israel with its current legal boundaries, and we will help defend and protect the Jewish state. And if anyone comes against Israel, you'll have to deal with us. That's unmistakable. And I think that is Barack Obama's opportunity. I really do believe that that the believers in this nation got on their knees and have prayed and have cried out to God for protection for the Jewish state, because they understand the promise in Genesis that those who bless Israel will themselves be blessed. And I believe what we saw last Sunday was, again, a miracle of the hand of God when the 70 nations gathered in France based on Israel's destruction failed. In fact, a snowstorm came in that day. There were power outages. And in fact, our U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, called Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu on Sunday and assured him there would be no further anti-Israel UN actions. Why? Because they could not succeed. And why? Because the Trump team made it clear to the UN that they would undo whatever these nations decided to do in France. And so your listeners need to know, Sam, that we saw the first Donald Trump foreign policy victory last Sunday in France in favor of Israel. That's what we saw, and that's before Donald Trump even set foot in office, because the Donald Trump foreign policy team met with these leaders from France and told them, you can pass all the resolutions you want. It won't make any difference. I can imagine behind closed doors what they really said to them. But this should let believers know your prayers are making a difference. And every day, our responsibilities as believers is to be on our knees, asking God, beseeching Him for the safety and well-being of our nation and of the Jewish people and of believers across the world. I think we can see tremendous victory in the next 4 years if we believers step up and take on our responsibility to pray for those in authority.
Amen. Hey, Michelle, you laid it out there straight. Now, let me go. I'm going to go shift right a little bit to the north. Let's go back up into Europe. You had that meeting there, not you, but the meeting was there on France. But when Barack Obama was first elected, I remember hearing and watching a video, an interview with Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger said these words, quote, he said, Barack Obama was our pick to usher in the new world order, he said. Our pick to usher in the new world order. It's interesting that Donald Trump seems to be driving tremendous fear into the hearts of the new world order globalists and threatening all that they're talking about. Matter of fact, Joe Biden just gave a speech, his parting speech, and he said as a part of it that what's happening is that the progressive world order is now at risk of collapse. That's what Biden said. I'm going to ask you this question. How do you see the globalist agenda reorganizing itself in 2017, really as a result of these things that are happening?
Amen. Again, this is yet one more victory, I believe, that believers have wrought, and that is the destruction of the one world order that has been in place for decades. I think Satan has always, from the very beginning, wanted to create a one world order, going back to the time of the Tower of Babel. And today is no different. He's wanted to create a one-world order. They've been very effective, whether it is, your listeners may have heard of these international meetings at Davos, Switzerland, the meetings of the G22, the meetings of the EU. All of these meetings are intended to bring about the destruction of the individual nation states like the United States of America in favor of regional government and ultimately control and domination by one world government with a one world economic system enforced by a one world military system. Now, at the latest meeting at Davos, they were going crazy because they saw that the nations of the West in particular are saying, no way, we don't want to be in a one world system. During the course of the presidential campaign, Donald Trump was very clear that he was all about making America great again, not just as a statement, but he really wants the United States as a nation to build itself up again so that we aren't reducing ourselves in favor of a one-world government. We as believers need to encourage him and our senators and our representatives to continue down that path, because the strongest thing that the United States can do is to build up economically and build up militarily. Then evil players, whether it's Russia or China or whether it's Iran or this coalition of 57 Arab nations known as the Organization of Islamic Cooperative, or these types at Davos, Switzerland, whatever these types are, they're defeated when we are strong. And when we are a strong individual nation state, we still remain the global leader of the world. It doesn't mean we will always stay that way. But if Donald Trump, in fact, puts in place what his plans are to build us up economically so that we can be a strong military power, then all these evil plans will go by the wayside. And the United States will be strong, hopefully safe, hopefully peaceful, hopefully secure. And then we can also have Israel back, our greatest ally.
You know, Michelle, it certainly is a breath of fresh air, is it not, to hear some of the statements that Donald Trump is saying about the nation of Israel, and to know that already he is making an impact upon the world with his position relative to the nation of Israel. I mean, this is something that we as Christians have been praying for a long, long time. And we're just about out of time for this particular segment.
Well, you're right, because this was the first pro-Israel foreign policy move by the United States. What happened in France last Sunday with the defeat of Obama's dinner, that was the first turn towards Israel we've had. This is great news.
It's great news, and I think that your challenge for Christians to be praying for Israel is the challenge that we all need to accept now. It's one of the greatest challenges. As we pray for Israel and pray for Donald Trump, I think we're going to see some great things as we go into these next
Amen.
4 years. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our guest today is former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. She'll be with us here in the balance of the program. When we come back after this break, we're going to shift over to NATO. And a comment that Donald Trump just made, again, is that NATO is obsolete, needs to be revamped. We're going to get Michelle Bachmann's opinion on that statement.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The grilling continues on Capitol Hill for some of the president-elect's cabinet choices.
Is the president-elect, Mr. Trump, going to keep his word to the American people and not cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid?
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders pressing Congressman Tom Price, nominated to run the Department of Health and Human Services.
I haven't had extensive discussions with him about the comments that he made, but I have no reason to believe that that he's changed his position.
The Obama administration pushing back against the Republican outcry over Chelsea Manning having her sentence commuted. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest saying these are the same Republicans who
defended the integrity of Julian Assange, even as he was trashing the patriotic men and women who work in the United States intelligence community.
Speaking at the Christian Science Monitor breakfast, President Obama gives his final press conference in a few hours. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
We're going to continue now in this segment here. We're going to stay in Europe. We were talking about Israel in the last segment or two, and we're going to move into NATO area now and look at that whole scenario, because right, the whole program, I guess, today really is more along the line of trying to phrase this, what kind of baton is Barack Obama passing off to Donald Trump? And so we're touching on a few of these major international and national issues that are going to be directing and affecting the Trump administration. One of those now, ladies and gentlemen, is a statement that Donald Trump made earlier on last year, but has recently repeated it. And in that, he stated that NATO was obsolete. And with that, it seemed, that was a tweet that went out, it seems to have sent shockwaves across Europe. There's a lot of spokespeople there that are up in arms about it and are concerned about it. But I want to ask you this simple question, Michelle. That's a pretty bold statement. Do you think that NATO, let's put it this way, as it is currently structured, is in fact obsolete, and should NATO be revamped, at least to some degree, as Donald Trump is saying?
NATO is long overdue for being revamped, and I think it's important for your audience to know that NATO was created as a response to the Cold War and the threats from Russia against Europe. Europe was weakened after World War II. They needed help to stand against the aggressive nature of Russia. And so the NATO alliance was formed. I've been to the NATO headquarters. I've met with the head of NATO. But again, let's take a look at a recent threat threats that have occurred. One was Russia going into Crimea and taking it over. There was effectively zero response from NATO. Then Russia went into eastern Ukraine, effectively zero response from NATO, let alone look at Benghazi when the United States consulate was attacked in Benghazi. There was zero response from NATO. NATO has been ineffective, and Western Europe has gotten lazy, so to speak, because the United States has been paying the full freight of NATO. But we're accused of being the world's policeman. Well, the world loves it when we pay their policeman bills. The countries of Western Europe are expected to pay about 2% of their annual budgets into NATO for their defense, and they don't do that. Instead, they rely on the United States. I think Donald Trump is wise because the threat has changed. The threat today, quite frankly, comes from an aggressive Islamic threat of Islamic terror, and China is also beefing up their military as well as Russia. But the alliances are very different between North Korea, Iran, Russia, China. So since the threat has changed, the response should change. And Europe has been well content to have the United States take up its military defense capability. And it really needs to be questioned, why should the United States be paying for that? Why should we be doing that? Europe should be able on their own, 70 years hence after World War II, to be able to take care of their own military defense procedures. I think Donald Trump is right to bring this up. He's right to be a disruptor on this. And I think this is an issue that needs to be addressed and reformed.
So you really answered my next question before I go to Gary, Michelle. Donald Trump is not saying that the United States is no longer going to participate in something called a NATO, but he is saying that we are not going to participate in its current form, purpose, and funding. Would that be correct to say?
I don't want to speak for Donald Trump, but I do believe that he is being a disruptor of something that is tired, worn out, obsolete, isn't working. It's working for the bureaucracies of Europe, so they don't have to pay for their own defense. It's really not working for the United States because we need to address the real threat. The greatest threat that Europe is experiencing right now is economic threats from Russia, where Russia threatens Europe that they'll cut off their oil all the time unless Europe does Russia's bidding. But also, more than anything, what Europe is dealing with is a collapse of their own identity. They no longer embrace their Western Christian Judeo heritage, and instead they're allowing Islamists to define their new way of life. And in fact, Europe may become an Islamic continent, if you will, if they fail to remember their identity.
You know, Michelle, you brought up something there that we've talked about on this program before, and that is a reality, and that is that numerous members of NATO just are not paying their way. And, of course, the United States of America is paying a great percentage into the operation of NATO. My question to you along that particular line is, has there been an effort to enforce and to get these other nations to pay their way? Or are they just being given a free ride by the United States administrations as well as the United Nations itself?
Well, I think the latter is true. I think the United States, let's face it, this works for Europe, doesn't it? It works really well. They don't pay their bills, and we keep paying them, and yet Europe at the same time keeps trashing the United States. They love to trash the United States, but they love to have us pay their bills. Okay, imagine if this was your 16-year-old child. Would you allow your 16-year-old child to back talk to you while you pay all of their bills and bail them out of jail when they crash the family car? No. That would be foolish to do that. And I think Donald Trump is assessing the situation as it currently is on the ground. But again, it isn't just the money. It's also the threat has changed. That's what we need to understand. We're dealing with cyber threats today. We cannot underestimate the political will of the Islamists to turn Europe into an Islamic enclave. And if that's what Europe wants, that's what Europe's going to get. But the United States shouldn't be there as the defender of Europe if they are choosing identity suicide, so to speak, who they are.
Michelle, let's pick up on, go further on this. We're talking about Europe now, and we're talking about NATO. Now, Donald Trump, you said, as a disruptor, and that's what a lot of people like. He's causing these established things that have just gone on, like you're saying, just paying the bill for somebody else, even though they should be paying their own way. He's disrupting that flow and causing a rethinking and a reevaluation. I think that's always a good thing. Well, one of the things that he did say, and he said it several times, is that the European Union wasn't necessary. And he's talked about the fact that these various nations across Europe that are going to be having votes here in 2017 are going to go the way of Britain, and they are wanting to leave. Now, he spoke pretty harshly, and because he called out Germany as being a culprit in this, because he said that Germany has really profited by a one-side trade agreement with the rest of the EU, and these other nations are just tired of that, and therefore now some are saying the EU is in threat of collapse and breakup. Talk to me about the implications of that, because don't we want some kind of unity on the European continent? Speak to that, if you could.
Well, the greatest unity in Europe would be an identity unity, where Europe knows who they are and they defend who they are. In fact, it's just the opposite. Europe has been walking away from their traditions and the Judeo-Christian essence of what created Europe to be what it is today. If they are denying that, then they have to come to grips with understanding again who they are. Europe doesn't seem to want to defend itself militarily. They're, as we said before, they're content to have us defend them. And I think by Donald Trump making these statements, he's putting Europe in a situation where they need to reevaluate who they are and that's what they want to be. That isn't all bad. Europe has been a basket case economically. We saw Greece and Italy and Portugal and other nations in the EU who are happy to be nations who take welfare benefits from the EU with no willingness to reform. And yet countries like Germany have been supplying and making those welfare payments. It's just tremendous dysfunction going on there, and Europe will have to get its house in order. Again, I think the more that Donald Trump focuses on building up the American economy, building up American industries, building up American jobs, doing away with socialism in the United States and building up our military, the rest of the world will look at the United States and see this is how you become a strong, safe, sane nation. And they'll want to emulate us. Socialism isn't something to be emulated. Look at Venezuela, the perfect laboratory textbook case of what it means to embrace socialism, a la what Bernie Sanders wanted to turn the United States into becoming. And today in Venezuela, you have fully percent of 15% of the population getting their food out of garbage cans. So that's the recipe for failure, socialism. And if Donald Trump pushes the United States again toward embracing our Judeo-Christian ethic, our strong love for America and our identity here as Americans, building up our economy and our military, I think a lot of these problems will take care of themselves, but the United States really shouldn't be about continuing dysfunction across the world. We should be there to help other nations, certainly, when they're in trouble, but we aren't their policemen, we aren't their welfare service, we have enough issues of our own, and I think a lot of this will take care of itself.
Sounds like that would be good foreign policy, Michelle. I think you just articulated it extraordinarily well. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Again, our guest is Michelle Bachmann with us. It's Gary Dahl and I today. And we're going to come back here in this next segment. I want you to stay with us because we're going to go to the inauguration now on Friday. It's only just a couple of days away. We're going to talk about the security threats Actually, some things are happening. Somebody just set themselves on fire down there. So there's some strange people doing some strange things. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to close this program in prayer today the way it ought to be done every day. David, we'll be right back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something that you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or just the plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and to make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and may God bless you.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This coming Friday, January 20th, is Inauguration Day, with all of the ceremony and tradition marking the transition of power from one president and administration to another. It's the culmination of more than a year of campaigning through primary and general elections, and over the last 80 or so days, doing the work of setting up a new administration ready to take on the responsibility of leading the greatest nation on earth. And now the real governing begins, and I think it's incumbent upon us who care about the future of our state and nation not to be observers, but rather participants, first in praying for our new president and his administration, and then as engaged citizens working to promote the common good, helping our neighbor, and calling our elected officials to account when they stray from what is right. May God grant us mercy and grace in the days and years to come, and wisdom to our leaders to govern with integrity and purpose. I'm Michael Gear, the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Go to our website at pafamily.org.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Freedom's Foundation at Valley Forge welcomes former Homeland Security Intelligence Officer and Foreign Policy Research Institute Fellow Jack Tomarcio to speak on politics, hacking, and the new Russia. All are welcome to attend this fascinating talk on Wednesday, January 25th at 7 p.m. at Freedom's Foundation. For directions and RSVP, go to www.freedomsfoundation.org or check out our Facebook or tweet us at FFVF.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we're talking about passing the baton from Barack Obama to Donald Trump. And clearly, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of things, he's passing a baton that is an attempt to either tie the hands of or set up a new Trump administration. That's clear. I think we are seeing that. But the inauguration day, the actual transfer legally, officially of the baton happens on Friday when the president takes his oath, which should occur around noon on that day. Michelle, you've been at a lot of inaugurations. I'm not sure if you're going to be there this Friday or not, but there appears to me to be anyways a higher level of threats around this one. Certainly the precautions in the city appear to be much greater than in the past. And even looking at headline news here right now, I'm seeing, you know, these statements that the radicals are going to target D.C. Metro to block access. There's all kinds of things. There's a protester sets himself on fire in D.C. What a ridiculous thing that is. So there are things that are there, but could you just briefly give us your perspective? How much different is it? Where are the greatest threats coming from? And put this into perspective for us, because we need to be aware of these things. We don't want to be governed by them, but we need to be aware of who and what is taking place as well.
Sure. I'm in D.C. right now. I'm here for inaugural activities. I will be here for the inauguration and attending the inaugural ball. But also, I think this is my fourth inauguration that I'm attending. Now, remember, when Barack Obama was inaugurated the last two times in 08 and 12, I was present. I was on the platform about 50 feet away from the president. There were over a million people in attendance. You didn't see protests, and that's because people on the right, the Republican side, aren't out there protesting because they didn't get their way. What you're seeing right now are Obama and Hillary supporters, and the Obama and Hillary supporters are engaging in violence because they are unwilling to accept the democratic results of the people. The people spoke. They made their decision. They rejected the Obama policies and the Obama mandate. They clearly want the country to go in a different direction. But rather than accept the will of the people, they are undermining the people, and instead professional agitators are being hired. There's a report yesterday that individuals are being paid $2,500 per person to come here and agitate. In fact, James O'Keefe from Veritas, you can go to his website, James O'Keefe Veritas, he has actual footage where he's meeting with these communist thugs who are being paid money, who are planning to punch people in the throat try to block the metro train stations, block people from accessing Union Station, which is Amtrak train depot. I mean, that's what's happening. We need to call these people out for who they are. They're Obama, Hillary, George Soros paid supporters who are here for one purpose, and that's to undermine the legitimacy of this lawful, peaceful transfer of power. And so, again, there are people here. I'll be participating in many prayer events. There are intercessors doing a Jericho walk right now around the city. There are people here who are speaking on behalf of the United States-Israel relationship. I'll be a part of that event as well. There are believers here, and as well as yourself, you will be here handing out 50,000 New Testaments. I fully believe that the Word of God is going on offense in this city, and that will prevail over the evil that men are intending in this city.
Actually, Michelle, we'll be passing out the Gospels of John and the Book of Romans, which, of course, is a part of the New Testament. But we understand that what the power of the Word of God can do, 50,000 is a pittance compared to how many will be there. But you know what? God will take His Word and bless it and use it. But along this idea of what the Democrats are doing, what the Hillary people are doing, and so forth and so on, it's being reported that a large number of congressmen and maybe some senators are planning to boycott the inauguration. The last I heard, it's something like 60 congressmen will be boycotting the inauguration. Now, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, this is really unprecedented, at least to that particular degree. There have been individual senators and congressmen down through the years who have conducted such a boycott. But when you've got so many Democrats going to boycott the inauguration, as we have reported we'll be doing, what does this signal for relationships going into this new Trump administration?
Well, remember, why are they doing this? It's because they don't want to accept the results of the American people that were freely made at the ballot box, the rejection of the Democrat socialist agenda. They don't want to accept that. And so what did they do? They didn't want to say that their candidate, Hillary Clinton, and their policies under Barack Obama were a failure. So they've created a lie. This is a lie when they say that Russia put Donald Trump in office. That is not true. The report that was issued by the Intelligence Committee does not come out definitively and say that Russia it was the reason why Donald Trump won. Clearly, it's because Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate and people were upset by the Obama policies. That's the story. So when the liberals lose, they want to blame something else. And so one thing Republicans need to do is continually call out that this is a lie. This election wasn't lost because of Russia or Russia hacking. This election was lost because Hillary was a terrible candidate who was going to continue the Obama policies that was ruining our country. End of story. And that's what needs to be done. So these 60 Democrats that are banding together, one thing this should show us is that Democrats never stop fighting. They never stop fighting. And they hang together. Even if it's a lie, they hang together to advance the lie to get back in power. I think it's a pretty stupid move myself because I don't think the Americans are going to believe it. But again, just like they blame George Bush for, quote, the worst economy in 50 years, that also was a lie on the housing collapse. You know, that's a whole other story. The Republicans better wake up and recognize Democrats are really good at repeating a lie over and over and over again. The Russians did not deliver this victory for Donald Trump. The American people delivered this victory because they wanted to make America great again. They don't want us to be a one-world government. They want the United States to be great. They want us to stand with Israel. They want the economy to work again, and they hate Obama's foreign policy. They don't like having the third world or the United States. And so, anyway, that's really what this was.
Well, that's interesting, Michelle. Now, we're getting very, very close here. I tell you, I want you to close in prayer. I want you to close in prayer for us. We have just a bit of time left. We love it when you pray. We have a lot to pray about here. Would you take us to the throne of grace, please, and hold up the inauguration and all of these changes before the Lord, please, for us today?
Happily. Thank you. Oh, Father God, Lord of the universe, I thank you, oh God, that you are here and you are real. You are the God of the Bible. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We worship and we adore you, O God. I thank you, Father, for the miracle that you have wrought this last year, that in the hearts of your people we cried out to you and you heard our cry. We pray again for our nation, Father, moving forward, that you will hear our cry, that many will come to know you, Father. But we lift up our nation, we lift up our leaders now for your praise, for your glory, that we would turn toward you in all of our ways. In the mighty, incomparable name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen.
Amen, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today with Gary Dahl, Sam Rohr, and Michelle Bachman. We ask that you today go to the Lord in prayer and to the best of your ability, stand in the gap for the truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.